Welcome to the Operation Move podcast. My name is Zoe, and this week I'm going to be talking about going back to the beginning a bit of how I got started in running and some of the things that I learned that now go into the Learn to Run program, which starts on Monday. I never ran in high school, or anything. I would usually chuck a sickie on any of our cross-country days or athletics carnival days, and no appreciable talent in that area whatsoever. I was a passable goalie in soccer, and that was about it. I think the problem with something like that is that it just tends to lead you to believe that you have no capability of being athletic in any way, and that's certainly something that I internalized. And so I had probably periods of time where the idea of running seemed good, and I would do that for short periods of time. But ultimately, I liked the idea of it more than the actual work. And certainly in my 20s, that's sort of where it stayed. Like, it would be in set periods of time where I would go through sort of like phases of being really focused on something, and then it would kind of fall away. It would never really stick. But because I also had never done it in school or in a structured environment in any way, I also had no concept of how you might actually structure training. So anytime I went for a run, I would just run. And the only thing that would change might be, like, I might extend the distance. And certainly after Piper, who's my second and last baby, after she was born, I was sort of starting from, like, on the one hand, I'd never really been athletic, but I'd always walked a lot, so I always had the ability to sort of pick up running relatively quickly, even if it was not fast by any stretch of the imagination, or necessarily easy either. I had enough of a base that I could kind of, like, suffer through it. But after Piper was, she was probably about 3 or 4 months old when I started running. And I'd put on so much weight with that pregnancy, and she was a really small baby, so that was all me and no baby. It was a lot harder to get into things, and was on the treadmill, and my only real concept of it was, like, I'd just be on there for an hour. And in the beginning, that was sort of by necessity, was walk run interval. So I'd run until I couldn't run, and then I would walk. And every couple of days when I go back, I'd try to extend the run part a little bit more, and I'd always be there for an hour, or always be in between sort of 7 to 8 kilometers, and that's just what I would do. Most of my running was on the treadmill by necessity, because we were living on the Central Coast and Josh, my husband, was commuting to Sydney, and so he would usually leave the house at about 4 in the morning and get back at probably like about like 7:45 at night. And so there was no daylight, and not living in an area where there were enough street lights, I would go to the 24-hour gym and use the treadmill there. I'd probably run outside maybe on the weekend, but treadmill was definitely more of my safety zone, because sometimes you would go there and there would be nobody in the gym, and so I wouldn't have to sort of deal with being seen by people as a larger runner, and, you know, like, sort of you've got low zero self-confidence at that point, so the concept of anyone sort of seeing you at all is not overly pleasant. And at the time, I would just take a picture of the treadmill when I was finished a workout, or a run, because I had no concept of what workouts were at that point. And which was very tricky because, you know, if you stopped, it would kind of go to zero. So you had to kind of like downshift into like a slower walk and then kind of like organize yourself to take a picture of the treadmill. I was not really, I think I might have been using Runkeeper at the time, maybe, but, and I would put it on social media and it was just like a way to stay accountable and to motivate myself to go back the next time, because there were plenty of times I'd be sitting in the car outside the gym and I just have to sort of like talk myself into it. After about probably been running for a year or two maybe, Josh suggested that I might want to get some proper running shoes that I hadn't bought from Kmart. And especially because I was starting to run outside more. And so, you know, you're kind of dealing with a lot more sort of impact and everything like that. So I went to a popular sort of chain running store to get fitted, did that, spent an exorbitant amount of money on shoes, wore them and got the most horrendous shin splints. And being a new runner, I had no idea what it was. I just felt for sure I had like a stress fracture or something. Anyway, I could barely walk, let alone run. And so I went to the physio, who also happened to be an acupuncturist, which was very helpful. And he said, look, it's all just soft tissue damage, just ice, massage, stretch, you know, all of the usual things that you do for shin splints. And you can walk, but don't run until you're pain free. And now there's a whole other range of things that I would add to things to do for shin splints, but I'll link that up in the notes so that if it's something that you're struggling with, there's a whole bunch of stuff that's helped me. And a lot of it is to do with strengthening, not just stretching and not just resting, because rest alone is just not going to get the job done. And so I was then in a position once that had sort of calmed down and got rid of those horrifying shoes, and I've never worn that brand of shoes since, even though they're a really popular brand and a lot of people love them. It's just like once you have like something like that where I had to sort of essentially retrain for 6 months, I was like, yeah, never again. And so at that point, just to help with the shin splints, I went to some more minimalist shoes just to get some better running form happening. And as I was sort of retraining and doing, I shifted over to some Galloway intervals while I was doing that, and sort of like continued on training for, I think it was a half marathon I was training for at the time. And the training literally, like, there was no like paces or there's nothing that would even resemble anything that I would do now. It was just, this is the amount of time I have during the week for a run, which would be probably 8Ks, and doing a long run on the weekend. And there's all sorts of stuff, like looking back at the training logs where it's doing like a couple of days before the races doing hill sprints, which I would never do in a million years now. But it's all this part of the learning curve with the whole thing. And so it's always quite fun to look back on that stuff now. And then it's probably at about this point that I started to become really interested in the sort of structuring it and like, okay, you know, like I seem to be not improving in the same way that other people improve. So why is that? And how could I structure my training for it to be better? And that's sort of when I started looking at creating programs for myself and creating programs for other people. And it was kind of like born out of this thing of, am I just genetically not predisposed to getting better? Am I one of those people, like, generally speaking, when you talk about how people adapt to things, you've got sort of like high adapters and low adapters and kind of middle of the road adapters. And I just thought, like, maybe I'm just like one of those people who just don't adapt. But I just wanted to know for sure. So that's when I sort of started constructing training. It was like, okay, like if we do this and I do every session and I cover off everything and it's still no improvement, that's not going to change how I feel about running, but at least I would know. And those are the kinds of things that I've then taken into Learn to Run programming and other run programming, is things about, you know, easy runs being super easy, hard runs being super hard, how hill sprints make, or they don't feel like hill sprints, but, you know, hill efforts aren't about getting faster up the hill. They're about making the easy things feel easier, and just sort of like starting to break down, like, okay, like if I want this time for this distance to be faster, then I've just got to run at that pace with over time, but with enough breaks in there so that I can manage it, and eventually I'll be able to do that without breaks. And strength training was a huge part of it too, because I think it's often ignored because you don't get the same kind of sort of like reward hormones that you might with a run. I mean, I think you do over time, you know, like I think it was something that in the beginning I really sort of struggled to motivate myself to do it. And, you know, I probably thought of it as a pretty, pretty boring thing to be doing. But I think now I find it just as rewarding as a run, really. I don't have that same sort of attitude that I had to it at the beginning. And I think that, and some ways too, because I would say in general, strength takes longer to build than running fitness. And so a lot of those strength aspects are kind of harder one. And so hence, like I do tend to find them more rewarding, but it's a really important part of the Learn to Run piece, in that one of the biggest issues that people have with running is usually to do with experiencing some knee pain. And it's actually very unusual that it's actual knee pain. It's like it's felt in the knee, it's referred into the knee, but most of the time it's a lack of conditioning in the surrounding muscles. So your hamstrings need to be stronger, your quads need to be stronger, your adductors need to be stronger, your glutes need to be stronger, all of those sorts of things. And so by working on that, then you can enjoy the running experience a lot more. And each time that sort of Learn to Run is starting, I always sort of have an opportunity to reflect on not just... It's not surprising to me that I started, because I often started a lot of things, but it's surprising to me in some ways that whatever it is, 6 or 7 years later, that it's still going. And I think it's great to take that time to sort of reflect on why that is and why it's still going and what it is about it that still keeps me engaged in the process, because that's going to help me to create that relationship with running for other people as well. Because running for 12 weeks is great, but I'd much rather see people running for 3 or 4 years, because I think that it's so much more about the over time the relationship you develop with your body, and having a completely different way of approaching it, that you no longer think of it as exercise. Like I certainly thought about it that way in the beginning, and I would never think of myself as exercising now. But I think that probably looking back on it, the biggest thing that starting running helped me to come to terms with was that all of that stuff about being unathletic, or, you know, just not genetically predisposed or whatever, was a thing that I'd internalized from school, was learning that that was actually a lie. And, you know, that it might not have been apparent
at that stage, but it was not actually a real thing. And I think that that can be quite a liberating thing, because it sort of then allows you to say, okay, well, what other things have I allowed myself to be limited by because of not, you know, gifted enough or not skilled enough or, you know, or whatever it is. And I think that that can then translate into so many different aspects. And, you know, like, and even with being a coach, in the past when I've had businesses and I've always been really somehow just sort of bought into this thing that was like not cut out to kind of handle the financial side of things. Like, I'm good with technical stuff, I'm good with creative stuff, but, you know, can't do financial. Also completely untrue. And I think that once you start sort of peeling back those things that you've internalized, wherever they may have come from, then it just empowers you to do so many more things and to really focus on what you want to do, not what you think you can do. That's it for this week. Sorry for the delay, but my entire hard drive on the computer failed, and there are most things I can get by with on my phone, but podcasting is not one of them. So I was very pleased to have it back and functioning. And, you know, it's one of those things where I was like, yeah, that probably shouldn't be. One of the things you learn when you do systems and quality improvement, which I spent so much time doing, is that there should never be one point of fail. That was definitely a one point of fail. So it should be back onto a normal or semi-normal schedule now. Learn to Run starts on Monday for the February group. So if you want to jump into that, you can. And I will speak to you next week. Bye.